chapter 2 of the Gospel of Mark. When he returned to Capernaum, after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around that there was no longer room. There was no longer room for them, not even in the front of the door. And he was speaking the word to them. Then some people came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And after having dug around, dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And at once, Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves. And he said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, stand up and take your mat and walk. But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home." And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." For the past 3 weeks, we have explored the beginning of the Gospel of Mark. I believe, like many, that the Gospel of Mark is about the topic, the theme of discipleship. And already, in the first chapter of Mark, we have discovered what I'm calling marks of discipleship. While discovering these marks, we are learning what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Discipleship, it means to follow. We are followers of Jesus. He is our Lord, our Master, our Rabbi or teacher, and our guide on the road of discipleship. If we're looking for a place to go, if we are looking for a destination, we follow Jesus, and He will take us to that destination. We need to commit to align our lives with His and subject ourselves to His proposed revisions in our lives. That is to say that once we get on the road of discipleship, we commit to that road, that way. Jesus is going to offer a set of changes and transformations and revisions in our lives. And when we say yes, we'll follow you, we're saying yes to those changes. That is the confession that we make when we say, Jesus is Lord, or Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Those intending to be His disciples, to be a disciple of Jesus and make that confession, those of us who want to proceed on that way, we're baptized, thus enacting a reset in our lives. The beauty of discipleship may be witnessed in what Jesus does with us after that reset. We looked at the calling of the first disciples who would later become His apostles or missionaries. They would be sent out to go do the work of Jesus. They were reassigned. They used to be fishermen catching fish for a living, but Jesus changed their vocation and their calling, and they began to fish for people, catch people. And this then enacted a reclamation also in their lives, in the lives of others, or started this reclamation project. Jesus can liberate us from evil spirits that have possessed our lives. He has the authority to speak boldly and powerfully to evil and exorcising those demons from our lives. We continue to locate these marks of discipleship in the Gospel of Mark through reflecting on a beautiful and bizarre story in the Gospel of Mark. As I was reading, every time I read it, there are moments in the story that just quite frankly makes me laugh and say, that's quite interesting. I don't know about you all. I want to know, those at home, the few of you here, were you popular in high school? Were you popular in your middle school? Like, what made you popular? Was it that you were a part of one of the sports teams, or maybe you were in the band, or maybe you were a cheerleader, maybe you were your parents were popular in the community, maybe you participated in some legendary event that lived in infamy, and that's what made you popular. Think of your own popularity, or the popularity of some of your schoolmates that you remember when you were in school, or those of you who are in school right now. Like, what makes them popular? Today's metrics, people use a lot of things to measure popularity. One of those metrics is how many followers you have on Instagram or some other social media platform. I've shared this list in the past in a different sermon, but I'm always curious to see, who has the most Instagram followers. As of last week, the top five followed accounts on Instagram. Number five is Kylie Jenner. She's a model. She has a makeup line, and she's, even though her last name is Jenner, she's part of the Kardashian family, Kim and Khloe and the other one that no one ever talks about, the Kardashians. Number four is The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. By the way, Kylie Jenner has 210 million followers. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, he has 211 million followers. I suspect that his number is going to rise in the next couple of weeks because he has a TV show that's about to start coming on TV called The Young Rock or something like that. Number three is Ariana Grande. She has 216 million followers. This is worldwide, people following her on Instagram. At number two is Cristiano Ronaldo, the soccer player. He has 254 million followers. And number one, and I'm not sure that I remember that this made the list before, at number one is Instagram. Instagram has an official account, and they have 384 million followers. And there are certain things about, The Rock and Kylie Jenner and Ariana Grande and Cristiano Ronaldo that make them, the most followed. They're very, very popular. Now, I don't know how they measured popularity in the days of Jesus, but per the reports of this gospel writer in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus was extremely popular. Prior to today's narrative, the story I read in chapter 2, Jesus healed a man who had leprosy, a dreaded skin disease. This disease was treacherous and would destroy one's social status as they were banished to live in quarantine and isolation. Jesus did the unspeakable. You weren't supposed to be around lepers, and you certainly were not supposed to touch lepers. But he touched the man with leprosy, and in touching him, he healed him. And Jesus instructed the man to go to the priest to show himself so that the priest could declare him clean. That's what you had to do according to the Levitical law. Jesus also told him, don't tell anyone what I did for you. Don't share this with anyone. But here's what happened. Verse number 45 of chapter 1, Mark says, but he, and that's the man that was healed from leprosy, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word, so that Jesus could no longer go into the town openly, but stayed out in the country, and people came to him from every quarter. And I think back to the time when we had our encounter with Jesus, when we became a Christian, when we became a follower of Jesus. Wasn't it hard to keep it to ourselves? I mean, I was a young teenager, and I couldn't wait to go tell my friends in my neighborhood or tell my friends at school. I couldn't contain it. Even as an adult, when I have an encounter with the Lord, it's hard to keep it to myself. I could only imagine that for the man who was healed of leprosy, it was an uncontainable moment to be healed of a disease that prohibited him from having normal relations with his family and friends, with his religious community. It must have been so exhilarating to be freed from that. Those of us who have contracted COVID-19 and have recovered can tell you the relief of returning to normalcy and the thrill of exiting out of isolation and quarantine. This man went and told everybody. And what happened as a result is that Jesus became very popular. His popularity soared. And so if we were measuring Instagram followers back then, I suspect that Jesus would be in the lead in terms of followers. It is this moment of popularity that created the setting of the narrative that I read from Mark chapter 2. Jesus is his home. He's back home, and everyone knows that he's there. The word spread throughout the region. They discovered where Jesus was located, and they surrounded the home. Well, verse number 2, Mark 2. So many gathered around that there was no longer room for them, not even in front of the door. And he was speaking the word to them. Jesus' popularity has gone through the roof. And as we will see, literally, as Jesus sat in a house teaching people, gathered around him to hear him. They gathered at the entrance of the house, trying to get in to hear this popular teacher, this popular rabbi, this miracle worker. They wanted to see Jesus. They wanted to receive that touch. With no other way to get in the house, four ambitious men sought to get their crippled friend to Jesus. They climb on top of the house on the roof. They broke through it and they decided to lower their friend, their crippled friend that they carried on a mat down to Jesus. Now, I have been around celebrities when it got rowdy and uncontrollable. And I saw the celebrity at that time when it got rowdy, when people were just, you know, pushing and climbing over each other, clamoring, trying to get to the celebrity. I saw the celebrity get uncomfortable, and I've seen security take celebrities away to make sure that they didn't get hurt. I remember years ago in Lansing, this guy came to church and needed some help, and he needed me to drive him to the hospital. And I remember I drove him to the hospital. When we got to the hospital where I was going to drop him off, I looked out and there was this large human being in front of my car. And it was a guy by the name of Charles Oakley. Charles Oakley is a former NBA basketball player. He's probably like 6'9", 6'10", very big. He was in the NBA. He was an enforcer, which meant if you came to the rim, he was going to enforce his will and you were likely to get hurt. He was a mean dude, and even as he stood in front of my car in a suit, I don't know why he was in Lansing, I don't know why he was going into the hospital, but as I saw him, he still looked mean, and I looked, talked to the guy in the seat next to me. I said, "Hey, that's Charles Oakley," and he said, "That is Charles Oakley," and He jumped out of the car and he ran up to Charles Oakley. He was like, "You're Charles Oakley!" And we're under this carport, so like his voice reverberated all through the carport. And Charles Oakley did not smile. He did not look pleased. I can report to you that I was sure that that was the day that I was going to witness my first ever murder in person. And he pushed that guy back and said, "Dude, quiet down," and just, I thought I was going to witness a homicide. My car was in drive. I was ready to go. But I've seen celebrities, when they're bombarded by fans, just get irritated. These men come into the house clamoring and trying to get to Jesus, just as everyone has. And Jesus probably had the right to give them a tongue lashing, to say, "What did you do to my roof?" But not so with Jesus. Jesus, taking note of the courage and tenacity and great faith of the men, he rewarded their efforts. This is what happened. Mark chapter 2, verse number 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Jesus rewarded the men by forgiving the sins of the man that they carried on a mat. Now, I'm not sure that's what the four men wanted. Surely they wanted this bedridden man to walk again. I'm sure they did not mind serving this crippled man as they did carrying him on his mat. But it had to be a tiring job to walk around carrying this crippled man. Surely they wanted this bedridden man to walk. They were probably tired of people attributing the crippled man's condition to his spiritual state. It's likely that in this time that many deduced that this man's illness was a result of his sinful behavior. And it may be that Jesus knew that this was the case, that so many people thought he was crippled because he was a sinner. So in the earshot of all those who witness, the first thing he says is, "Your sins are forgiven." And he was still crippled. There's a lot going on here. This event would give rise to some of Jesus' opponents accusing him of blasphemy. Blasphemy was punishable by death. Only God can forgive sins, they would say. Who dares says what only God can do? Who does this Jesus guy think he is, offering the forgiveness of sins? Only God can forgive sins. It was a bombshell accusation, one that would shed light on just who Jesus was. You see, if it was true that only God can forgive sins, what does it say that Jesus has the power to forgive sins? Already we've seen Jesus with the authority to heal the sick and a power and authority over sickness. And we've also seen Jesus have the power and authority over evil. He was able to speak to evil and cast out demons. And now Jesus demonstrates his power over sin and his ability and its ability. And he has the ability and right not only to have authority and power over sins, but to offer what we all seek: forgiveness. Forgiveness of sins. Verse number 10, Mark 2. "But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he says. And then he tells the man to take up his mat and walk. I want us to consider a couple takeaways. I want us to reserve some room in our hearts for the men who took and brought this man to Jesus. We have friends and family, but then we have friends and family. What does it say about these men who were so adamant about this man getting to Jesus that they tore through someone else's roof? didn't care about the consequences, didn't care about if they were committing a crime even. We're going to get this man to Jesus. We might even nickname these men bad carriers or mat carriers. Those were the men who brought him to Jesus. And who is that for you? Who was your bed carrier? Who was your mat carrier? Who was the person that brought you to Jesus? That's your mat carrier. The ones that cared so much for you that they believed you needed to come into contact with Jesus. I've shared this in many instances that my mother was my mat carrier. She was the one that made sure that I was going to go to church. She was the one that made sure that I was going to be introduced to Bible teachers and people of faith that would help me and nurture me alongside her nurture in the faith. She was a mat carrier for me that brought me to Jesus and did whatever she could do to bring me into the presence of God. And eventually I entered into a relationship with Jesus and my sins were forgiven. But who brought you to Jesus? Who are you bringing to Jesus? Who in your life are you willing to tear through a roof to make sure that they get to Jesus? What we see about discipleship is that it is not a one level, one layer event that stops once you become a disciple. Discipleship, disciples make disciples that make disciples that make disciples. Followers of Jesus spread the word and do what it takes to get people in a position to decide to become a disciple, a follower of Jesus. And at the end of the gospel of Matthew, which uses Mark as a source, you know, the writer of Matthew is using Mark as a source. And at the end of the gospel of Matthew, this is what the gospel writer of Matthew writes at the end of that gospel, chapter 28, verse number 18, then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Go and make disciples. Disciples make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. Disciples make disciples that make disciples that make disciples. In essence, we are all mat carriers. We are all bed carriers seeking to bring men and women and children to Jesus. The Church of Christ is not just about coming to a building or watching from home, singing songs and eating bread and drinking juice. It is an organism that advances life through the spreading and sharing of the good news of Jesus Christ. Our role is to be mat carriers, bringing everyone to Jesus so he can do something powerful in their lives, so that they can have a reset and a reassignment and be reclaimed and be remastered. Anyone who knows me know that I love music. I absolutely love music, and my taste in musical genres are not limited to one or two or three genres. I love gospel music. I love rap music. I love classical music. I love country music. I love musical theater. I listen to some pretty weird stuff. My family can attest to my weird interests in music. It's because I just love a variety of music. And many have a rightful fascination with Steve Jobs, but for me, the thing that Steve Jobs did that changed the game for me was the invention of this thing here, the iPod Classic. I don't know how many of you have an iPod Classic or had an iPod Classic. So before, you know, the iPhone, there were MP3 players, but then there was this thing, which was the MP3 player of MP3 players. This thing, I had a 160 gig size iPod Classic, which meant I literally had in my pocket thousands and thousands and thousands of songs, and the old iPod Classic, you know, you would spin the wheel to get to what song you wanted. But on my iPod Classic, I would have all the songs, all the oldies, all the new music, and all the weird music that I like to listen to. We went from personal listening devices, like we first used to listen to music on vinyl records. How many of y'all remember vinyl records? And then we went to 8-tracks. I don't know how many of y'all know about 8-track tapes. They were like huge, probably about big as this paper. And then, you know, we went to smaller, like cassettes, and then some of y'all remember that. Then we went to CDs, and that's a little more recent, and now we're all digital. The beauty of digital music is this, that they have found a way to take songs that were recorded in the 30s and 40s and 50s, and they found a way to process that music that was recorded using technology that they don't have today. They can use the technology that they have today to make those songs back then sound even better today. It's called remastering. And so on my iPod, I have some, I have an album of the Beatles. And it's all their remastered hits. Now, the Beatles were actually ahead of their time back in the day in the ways that they recorded. And so even in their day, their music sounded that much better. But now, with remastering, these classics, these great hits sound better. Through remastering, they can do things like remove like these ambient noises that are in the background or some pops, or they do remastering. They can even bring out some of the things that you couldn't hear because of old technology. And you'll start listening to these songs. I'm like, man, I never knew that those harmonies were there or that instrument was being played. It's the process of remastering. The man on the mat came as a crippled man, and he did receive healing to his legs, but more than that, his sins were forgiven. His encounter with Jesus would ensure that his life would indeed be a better version of his former self, his former life. A follower of Jesus is destined for a life that is dramatically better than their life before their encounter with Jesus. That's being remastered. Connecting people to God and connecting people to people and connecting people to purpose is not just a tagline for our church. That statement represents our heartfelt desire to invite men, women, and children to live in relationship with Jesus as one of his disciples. And disciples are afforded the blessing of being remastered, where our sins are forgiven, and during the remastering process, the bumps and the bruises, the pops of the past are smoothed over and likely removed when our new selves are revealed. During remastering, Jesus accentuates the beauty of our individual creation. During remastering, there are features that are brought forward that may not have been seen or noticed in the past because we were covered in sin. So during remastering, Jesus presents to the world a better version of ourselves. Currently, one of the most sought-out services in the service industry is life coaching. So many women and men are in search of therapeutic remedies and practical training so that they can live better lives. And so they're seeking out a life coach. People are looking for direction. They're looking to be remastered. They are looking to be a better version of themselves. Well, I have someone, for those of you who are looking for life coaching, I have someone I would like for you to meet. His name is Jesus. Offers a reset. He offers a reassignment. He offers us a status of reclamation. That is, he is willing to claim us and to rescue us from evil. And he offers to us the opportunity to have our lives remastered through his healing grace. This mark of discipleship is to be remastered. And oh, what could happen when we lay our lives in the hands of a master worker, someone who has a power to heal, a power to exercise demonic forces, a power to reassign our lives and vocation, a power to remaster us, to make us a better version of what we have become, because our lives have become stained with so much. Our lives have been stained with ideology. Our lives have been stained with the marks of this secular world. Jesus says, let me have a go at it. That man that laid on that mat, his life would never ever be the same again. Because when Jesus forgave him of his sins, he became a remastered version. Not only was he able to stand up and pick up the mat that he had been carried on and walk out carrying this mat and celebrating that, he could also celebrate freedom from his sin. He was forgiven. And when we are forgiven, this road of discipleship, man, it really becomes this beautiful road, allowing Jesus to be that. So we are all afforded the opportunity to partake of Christ's healing grace. As we sing this invitation song, this is an opportunity for us to share with the body items, situations, circumstances that we need prayed for, that we are in search of healing. As we're singing a song, go ahead and share your prayer concerns in the chat section there. If it's of a more private nature, go ahead and press the request prayer tab and share your prayer request, and we will pray for those. But don't allow yourselves to not be in a position to be remastered by Jesus so that he can make a better version of you through his healing grace. Let's sing the song together.